You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
You know the drill by now. We start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day, and we are going to be looking at some of those market movements. I'm joined on the line by a portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, Nick Kunze, to take a look at this and try and understand what's been happening. Good evening, Nick. Thanks so much for taking the time. I want to start by looking at the Rand, I suppose. We have seen a lot of volatility in the Rand of late, and it's nice to see a day where the Rand is gaining, not just against the dollar, but against other major currencies as well. What did you make of the moves today?
Yeah, evening, Jimmy. Evening to your listeners. Yeah, nice to be on the show with a positive green in the Rand. And, we obviously it's against the euro. It's been on the back foot after the shock results of the European elections on Sunday. But nevertheless, notwithstanding, the Rand has certainly, I guess, had a bit of a risk on theme as more news of coalition governments have filtered through. There seems to be a more market-friendly approach. Hopefully that gets in place. And that's seen the Rand benefiting. I mean, 1864, at one stage it was below, almost close to 1850. Needless to say, it was close to 19 a few days ago. So yes, you are correct. Nice to see a bit of risk on mood and a stronger Rand.
It's always nice to see that, because we don't see that very often, as you rightly mentioned. Nick, do you think this will hold come Friday, or do you think the outcome of Friday's vote at the Cape Town International Convention Center, where we elect a new president and a new speaker, could throw in some volatility? Are markets kind of pricing in similar to how they did with the elections, where you sort of see a bit of a pump before the actual news, and then depending on the outcome of the news, we might see a bit of volatility and a bit of weakness there?
Jimmy, good question. I mean, I've always said, and I'm sure most market watchers would say the same thing, if you want to know what the market's thinking, keep a look on the Rand. And the Rand, these currency markets are fairly efficient. They're a good barometer of what things are doing. There might be a little bit of that, as you said, Jimmy. There might be a little bit of buy the rumor, sell the news. But I mean, it's anyone's guess. On a just sort of a relative basis, the Rand is significantly undervalued against its emerging market peers. So I guess some market watchers would argue that there's certainly room for some more strength. And if I look at the Rand today and take what it's done the last few days, it's certainly maybe applying this. There's more to come. So fingers crossed there.
Fingers crossed, certainly, especially when we think about the fact that this is the first time in South Africa's democratic history we're actually going to see a coalition government. And I suppose the market might also be pricing in, or at least I think they're pricing in, a small element of the fact that this has been the most peaceful transition from a single-led party thus far up to where we stand. And hopefully it continues to be that way, and hopefully we continue to see that as the outcome. Financial stocks are absolutely loving this, though, Nick. They were up about 1.2% on the day's trade, and they were really the only good thing to come out of equity movements. Resources down 1.6%, industrials down 0.2%, the all share down, everything else in the red, but financial stocks holding us steady.
Yeah, they are. You know, financials tend to lead markets up and they tend to lead markets down. They're quite good leading indicators. And I'd have to say, in light of the Rand doing what it's doing, you'd expect the financials to do well. We often don't look at it. We don't often get to see it. But the South African bonds have been doing well this week as well. And that certainly helps the financials who sort of use it as a barometer to their sort of borrowing costs. So that's also been doing well. But it wasn't all sort of a doom and gloom, Jimmy. I mean, if you look broader, Foschini Group, which came out with earnings a few days ago, they saw a nice move today, a follow-on through that as well. And the smaller cap SA space, as this Rand has strengthened, has done well. So it wasn't just the financials. If you sort of peel back the layers, the smaller caps also coming to the fore a little bit better today too.
Nick, let's move offshore for a second. It looks as though it's been an interesting day if you look at some Asian markets and some European and US markets. Asian markets largely in the red, obviously Sydney down, Hong Kong down, Shanghai down, really only Tokyo in the green. Same with European markets, but more importantly, US markets at this stage. We've got that Fed conversation coming out, or Fed speech from Jerome Powell tomorrow, and we're expecting that dot plot data to suggest what it will about the direction of interest rates and that sort of thing. But what do you make of the US equity markets at the moment? Is there a bit of unsettled nerve, or nerves rather, within the markets that we're seeing filter through to the equity side of it? Or in the case of NASDAQ, I mean, having run up so much, there's obviously going to be a retracement.
Well, I mean, the problem is these markets can carry on grinding higher for longer. A lot of people speaking about a pullback, looking, saying things are overvalued. It's a bit bubble forming in the U.S. stocks. It's a very narrow, all of the above. But the Fed, as you said, Fed's sitting today, and they have a 2-day the Fed Open Market Committee. They contravene tomorrow. So tomorrow night, around about 8:15. SA time, we get we certainly get feedback with that dot plot, so that gives an idea of what the markets are thinking of the interest rate trajectory. It is important. Why is it important? Because it's the world's biggest economy, and what the Fed does, markets tend to follow. But we're interesting enough, Jimmy. We had certainly the last week or so, we've had a little bit of a sort of a breakaway from the trend. We've had the European Central Bank, they cut rates ahead of the Fed. The Bank of Canada as well, and a few others sort of leading. So I don't think they're going to cut tomorrow night, but we certainly might get some indications that we have sort of peaked on the interest rate cycle for now anyway. And that will certainly bode well for risk assets like South African stocks and emerging markets.
I remember having a couple of those conversations as well with analysts around the fact that we might start to see that divergence of other central banks making different decisions based on their own economies and leaving the US to deal with whatever the problems that persist within the US. I suppose within South Africa, it becomes a bit of a challenge because of just how interconnected emerging markets are to your developed market peers, especially when we look at our inflation rate and that sort of thing. Nick, are you seeing some signs that we might get? I mean, at this point, we've all but priced in at the most a half a rate cut from the US Fed, and we're hoping for a bit more than that. Are we pricing in anything remotely close for the South African market where we could say, you know what, inflation is starting to normalize, it hasn't reached the midpoint that the central bank wants, but are we anywhere near a rate cut in SA?
Listen, I mean, Jimmy, that's a very good point. And if Mr. Kanyagi and his MPC are listening to this radio show, which we hope they are, take note, we are way too expensive for what we are for South Africa. You know, we had a GDP print last week. It was a little bit lost in the geopolitical noise that's been around SA, but we were negative 0.1. I mean, that is very disappointing. So we're actually going backwards. And if you look at interest rates, to your point, if you look at inflation, it's not far off the midterm band of, between 3% and 6%. Our interest rates in South Africa are very constrictive. And in fact, I would argue that they're way too high. So let's hope they're listening, that they certainly don't like doing things before the Fed, also because a lot of the commodities are based in US dollars, so it doesn't help. As a South African economy, we do import a lot of our inflation too, so go a little bit careful. But I certainly think there is room to start cutting quite aggressively. I personally think when the Fed comes and indicates they're going to cut and they get their first cut, I think our South African MPC will be pretty aggressive and they'll start cutting rates too. We can only hope.
Nick, let's look at some of the companies before I let you go. Let's start with some developments from the EOH stable. The CFO, less than 6 months on the job, has now resigned. What's happening at EOH? I mean, I think back to, I think it was last week or maybe even the week before that, the chairman moved aside and said that he was stepping away and as the interim CEO as well. Now the CFO has resigned. We've known that Stephen van Coller's time has come to an end and he was responsible for a big part of that turnaround with the team that he had there. And you'd kind of think that after that turnaround and the cleanup that's gone through EOH, that something would give in terms of new management and taking the business forward. But I can't see anyone wanting to step into this space. I mean, CFO says yes and then says no, interim CEO's gone, there's no chairman. How do you steady EOH and what does that mean for investors? Because investors themselves are also wanting to know how the business moves forward here.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I mean, CEOs are very important, as we all know, but I would even argue a CFO is even more important. I mean, they're in control of the money and the numbers. And as investors, you need to make sure those numbers make sense. So, certainly in my experience, when a CFO resigns pretty quickly, and this is a matter of, as you said, months into the job, caution is certainly sort of, alarm bells, I'd even argue, are sort of ringing. I mean, the problem you've got with this particular stock is, where's EOH going? The stock was north of 100 Rand. It's now 1 Rand 56. It's down 99% and some change. It's a shadow of its former self. And then to right the ship. It's difficult to see where they go from here. I mean, you know, one thing is certain. Do you want stability? You want stability at the board level? And something like what we've seen over the last week or two, this is not happening. So, you know, you've got to be very cautious. If I was a shareholder, I'd just, you know, sort of hold on now, wait to see what happens. But you've got to have some stability. This makes me very, very cautious if I was looking at this company.
Speaking of other companies that had investors a little nervous, Copper 360 came out with results today. The share price didn't react so well. That was down almost 6% there. And this is obviously off the back of some of the conversations that came out of those developments. What do you make of that? We've been seeing a lot of interest develop in the copper space locally and internationally. I think of the likes of Glencore that have acquired copper mines, the likes of BHP most recently wanting the Anglo copper assets very clearly. What do you make of Copper 360's performance and just the copper space in general? Is it something that you're watching from a commodities point?
Yeah, so I mean, from a commodities point of view, absolutely. I mean, copper is turning out to be the go-to metal of the moment. I mean, it's back in the days past, it used to be referred to as Dr. Copper because it was used so much in housing and all the rest. So it gave an indication of what economies did. But even more so now, the amount of copper that's needed in the transition to green energy is absolutely eye-watering. I mean, a basic electric vehicle compared to a combustion engine requires 3 times more copper. You look at data centers that house these warehouses, the real advent of AI, the amount of copper needed is huge, and there's going to be certainly a copper deficit going into this year. So that's the positive case for the copper metal itself. Where do you get exposure to it in South Africa? Very little. Places like Glencore certainly have a large copper component. Anglo American has a large copper component. And then if you look at something like, as you mentioned now, the you know Copper 360 is probably the only pure copper play on the JSE. The problem is, it's there's one thing having a good story, it's another thing actually making money out of it. And certainly the initial indications are they're going to really battle, even at the copper at these levels, to sort of make money. So I would argue this is quite speculative. But once again, step back, the copper investment as a whole is certainly has certainly got more legs.
Certainly more legs in some markets than others. Obviously, we're going to have to keep an eye on these market movements and developments because a lot can still go a different way and this could affect investor sentiment. But as Nick mentioned, be very careful around how you are looking at your investments and your portfolios, especially if you're looking at stocks that you've been invested in for quite some time. I think we'll leave it at that. Nick, lovely to speak to you. I'm sure we'll be doing it again. Nick Kunz, who is the portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, joining me for this week's Market Watcher.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.